Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And it's our show. We're talking about, will the looser lending rules actually help you guys get a mortgage a wee bit more easily? Look, Andrew Bailey, the Commerce Minister, he's been out and about making a couple of statements saying, oh, I'm going to take a chainsaw to the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act. They're going to change the rules and hopefully it's going to make it a bit easier to get a mortgage so you can actually buy a house. But Andrew, that's what he's saying, but what's actually been announced? What's locked in?
Okay, so we're getting a lot of questions about this, but there's not a huge amount of proper detail yet. So what they are saying is that they're going to repeal 11 pages of the legislation. And what they're trying to tackle is when Labor introduced the rules and made it tougher, some of the lenders were scrutinising applications for lending to such an extent that even getting a small loan, which used to maybe take 2 hours to get approved, all of a sudden took 8 hours to actually do the assessment.
Wait, so somebody sitting at a bank or a lender is actually working on an application for like 8 hours before they approve it and let somebody have a loan to go buy a house?
Yeah, that's a whole day's worth of work for someone for a single application. It's crazy, right?
Oh, you can't imagine the bankers are too happy about that. And let's just recap. Right now, how hard is it to get a mortgage?
So over the last 3 years, it's got increasingly harder to borrow money. And we spoke to Peter Norris from Opus Mortgages about this. And Peter said, previously, you were able to borrow around 8 to 9 times your income. That was normal for an applicant. Now that's dropped to about 4 to 5 times your income. So not only is it harder to get the loan approved, but the amount that you can borrow has significantly changed. Now, there's a couple of things to that. Yes, the triple CFA has had an impact, but the major impact has probably come from these higher interest rates and therefore higher servicing test rates. So it's hard to separate out which of these two things has had how much impact on people's actual borrowing ability.
I'll tell you something quite interesting. Just a wee little mortgage story for you, Andrew. Yep. It's been quite interesting to see who's been hit more. So when you think about the triple CFA, which is the new mortgage rules we're specifically talking about in this episode, you'd think that the people who would be hit most are those with lots of debt and not much money. But actually, when you go out and you talk to mortgage brokers, what they say is the people who are really impacted are the ones who can clearly afford the lending. And so you might think, how is that even possible? How is it that mortgage brokers are saying, well, you know who's really been impacted? People who could really afford the lending. What? How does that work? Well, it's really, if you've got a lot of assets, but a really low income, you've been the sort of person who's been impacted most by Labor's rules. And I'll give you a wee example. So one of our mortgage brokers was working with an investor and they had $1 million in cash, right? So sitting in their bank account. And they wanted to go and borrow, I think about $200,000 to go and buy a house. They didn't want to spend all of their cash on it.
So tiny mortgage.
So tiny mortgage compared to the amount of cash, right? Now, back in the old days, the bank would have said, oh yeah, we'll approve that. Because if you get into any trouble with affording that $200,000 mortgage, you've got $1 million of cash, you'll just pay the loan back. Like, of course we'll lend it to you because you can afford this. And if you can't, or you find that, oh, the mortgage repayments are a bit tough, you'll just pay it back because you've got the money. Easy. But the issue is that the triple CFA, the newer rules came in, and it just killed the ability to get those sorts of loans approved because the banks then had to prove beyond reasonable doubt that the clients could afford the lending, not just in terms of can you afford to pay it back, but can you afford the repayments as well. So hopefully we'll get a bit more common sense coming back when it comes to actually approving somebody's mortgage. Now, let's talk about the new rules National want to bring in and Andrew Bailey wants to bring in. Andrew, come on, how much of a difference is this really going to make? What do you think?
So the government predicts that about 6 to 10% of borrowers who can't get a mortgage right now could be able to get one in the future. So it will have an impact, but, you know, again, it's not massive, but you've got to remember, on top of that, you might already have a mortgage, but now you can afford more. So now you might be in a position where you can add on an investment property, extend your house, do some more lending for something else. So it's not just new borrowers, it's also existing borrowers who will have an easier time with adding to their current lending or restructuring their current lending.
it's probably important to recognise as well that this is really helping the income side of your mortgage application. So when you go and you apply for a mortgage, there are a couple of things the banks are looking at. First, they're checking, do you have enough deposit? Do you have enough equity for us to be able to give you this loan? The other side is, okay, right, you've got enough deposit, but do you have enough income to actually support this mortgage? So these changes that we're talking about today, they're not about the deposit side. They're not about the equity side. It's about the income calculations. Can you afford the mortgage repayments? Now, to be fair, that's really good because that's where a lot of people are struggling. Not as many people tend to struggle with the equity side. You know, it kind of depends where you are in your property investment journey, but it's good to see that this is targeting the income side of your mortgage application. Now, one question that I've got for you, Andrew, because you've got your ear a little bit closer to the ground when it comes to how the banks are actually operating on a day-to-day basis and how much money they're doling out. We've expected these changes for a while. Are they already starting to loosen up?
Yeah, we are seeing some change. And one of the big ones is around interest only. So a lot of investors use interest only mortgages. And there's been some improvement to the way that banks are actually approving this. So ANZ and BNZ, for example, if you're wanting an interest only period for 12 months or less, it's more of a tick box exercise and banks are being far more reasonable with this. So again, more of that common sense side of things. So an investor that I was talking to the other day, they're going interest only on their personal mortgage. Now you might be thinking, well, why would they do that? Well, that's because interest rates are really, really high at the moment, and they're currently doing a progressive payment build loan, which means that they're servicing two loans when they're not getting any rental income for that second property. So to alleviate some of that financial pressure, they're going to go interest only on their own home for the remaining 6 months of the build for the investment property. Now, that has been a really easy process for them to get approved compared to a couple of years ago where the bank might do a full assessment and then get their business income tested again, have to get that all signed off by the accountant, make sure it passed all the servicing, when really this is just a short-term solution for a tighter cash flow position that they find themselves in at the moment. The other thing is discretionary expenses. So things like your gym membership, your Netflix subscription, your wine memberships, whatever it is, the banks aren't looking at this quite as closely. Now, why is that important? Well, these things are discretionary expenses. So at the moment, if I have three wine subscriptions and I've got Netflix, Neon, and
You're so bougie. Like, I've got three wine subscriptions.
I said you're using that example. I wasn't talking about
Wait
me.
Wait a second. Don't talk over me, Andrew Nicol. I've got the talkie stick. You're using that as like the average person in New Zealand has three wine subscriptions.
Edward Christian, I know you've got wine subscriptions, so don't at me.
Not on my personal card, it's on the company card. And actually, just while you're bringing that up, Andrew, one thing you don't know is next week we're going to be doing an episode where, again, we read out our credit card statements and find things to cancel. So if you want to see exactly how many wine subscriptions Andrew Nicol has on his personal card, tune in next week to find out.
And I think the biggest thing is, as a borrower, you know that you can cut back on these expenses if you have to. And people do tend to pay their mortgage first. But the banks have been under such scrutiny with this triple CFA rules that if you're paying for them now, they assume that you aren't going to cancel them in the future. So therefore, you have to be able to service the lending that's proposed as well as afford those. Again, the banks are winding that down a bit. And so we're seeing more of a common sense approach to the servicing testing.
And another question I've kind of been kicking around is, okay, well, if we're getting kind of anecdotal evidence, you know, mortgage brokers that we're just chit-chatting to are saying, oh yeah, it's getting a wee bit easier. Are we actually seeing that in the stats? And one of the things I like to look at is Tony Alexander's Mortgage Advisor Survey. So he goes out to a bunch of mortgage brokers every single month and says, are banks, you know, more willing to dole out some cash to give a mortgage compared to last month? And if we look at what happened back when the triple CFA, this mortgage rule came in, like almost 95% of mortgage advisors were saying, it's really hard to get money out of a bank right now, right? So like 95% of mortgage brokers were saying it's really hard. Only about 5% of mortgage brokers were saying, nah, it's kind of okay. Over the last, I'd actually call it about a year, we've started to see things go the other way, where more and more mortgage advisors are saying, yep, it's getting a bit easier compared to last month. At the moment, about 60% of mortgage advisors are saying, yep, it's getting a bit easier to get a loan approved. 40% of mortgage advisors are still saying, oh, it's still a wee bit difficult. So we are seeing a bit of change. Haven't seen the major upswing yet, though. We were seeing lots and lots and lots of mortgage advisors saying, yeah, the rules are all good now. But Andrew, one question we've talked about on the podcast before is it's all good that the government comes in and they write a new law and it gets introduced, but it all depends on how the banks actually operate. So do you think, as an ex-mortgage broker, that the banks are going to loosen the purse strings here?
Yeah, I think they will. It does take a wee while to change behaviour. So if a loan assessor has been sitting there at their desk scrutinising every expense for the last few years, it takes a wee while to get that habit out of them. But you've got to remember that banks' lending volumes are down 10% and they make their money through debt. So you will see a bit of an incentive for them to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the key message for investors, first-home buyers out there, is if you aren't able to get a mortgage approved right now, keep involved with the property market, because in 6 months' time, in 12 months' time, once we see this tough new mortgage rule relax a little bit, and as soon as we start seeing interest rates come down a little bit, you may find yourself that you actually are able to get a mortgage now, whether that be for your first home, your next home, some renovations, or an investment property. So it's a good time to keep your ear to what's happening in the property market, because maybe today you can't do anything, but in a couple of months, in a year's time, maybe you can. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And on top of that, I really want you to come to our upcoming webinar. It is on the 14th of May, 7 p.m. And it's all about how to build a $100,000 passive income plan in just 52 minutes. I think this will probably be one of the most eye-opening webinars we've ever done. So come along, the link's down in the show notes, tap or swipe over the cover art, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.